From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. For more than 30 years, the African Children's Choir has been delighting audiences all over the world. These performances have a deeper aim, though. The group is really a nonprofit humanitarian and relief organization, raising awareness and support for some of Africa's most vulnerable children. We'll get a preview of the group's upcoming performance in Cape Coral and learn more about how the organization is transforming lives throughout the African continent. That conversation's coming up later this hour. But first, the Florida Repertory Theater in Fort Myers celebrates its 20th anniversary season this year. And just this week, the company began performances of the play Disgraced by novelist and playwright Ayad Akhtar. The play won the 2013 Pulitzer Prize for Drama and opened on Broadway the following year. The one-act drama centers on Amir Kapoor, a successful Pakistani-American lawyer who has more or less abandoned his Islamic religious roots, and the often tense dialogue between the play's five characters tackles some particularly timely and contentious topics related to Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, and the Muslim-American identity and experience in a post-9/11 world. Joining me now for a closer look is New York City actor Amir Darvish, who plays the role of Amir in the play. His credits include the critically acclaimed off-Broadway one-man show Mercury, about the life of Freddie Mercury. He's a 2010 New York Innovative Theater Award recipient for Outstanding Featured Actor in Psych, and a 2009 New York Midtown International Theater Festival Best Actor nominee for Higher Education. Some of his films and television credits include work on The Blacklist, The Michael J. Fox Show, Damages, The Daily Show, and the soon-to-be-released feature film Moon River. Amir Darvish, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
We're also speaking with actor Rachel Bertram, who plays the role of Emily. She's been a Florida Rep Company member since 2002 and has performed in nearly 20 productions with the company. Her credits include roles in Split in Three, Clyburn Park, Miracle on South Division Street, and August Osage County, one of my favorites. She also serves as a production manager for Art Fest Fort Myers. Rachel Bertram, thanks for your time today as well.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having us.
And we're joined by Florida Repertory Theater founder and producing artistic director Robert Cassioppo. He directed more than 85 productions at the Florida Rep since founding the company in 1998. He's been honored by the Florida Professional Theaters Association with the Richard G. Fallon Award for Excellence in Professional Theater and was named as one of the top 40 influential leaders by Gulf Shore Business Magazine. The news press's 125 influential local leaders in the past 125 years noted him as well, and the recent 130 People of Influence in Fort Myers. He's been awarded the Angel of the Arts Award for Arts Organization Leader of the Year. Robert, thanks for being with us.
Pleasure, John. Hey, Amir. Hey, Rach.
Hi.
Hi.
And I invite listeners to join the conversation as well. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. Or get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And first of all, Robert, you know, a real quick synopsis of this play might be an ex-Muslim, an African-American, a Jew, and a WASP sit down to dinner. Now, I know this doesn't really tell us that much about the play. It almost sounds like the setup for a really racist joke. But can you just tell us more, maybe a little bit about the synopsis of what this drama is all about?
Well, you know what? I'm going to let, why don't we let, since I did not direct it, it's directed by a wonderful director, why don't you let Amir take it?
But, sure.
Or Rach?
Yeah, and we can both go back and forth. Let's just let this be an organic conversation. But Amir, let's start with you.
Right. Well, you know, I honestly have approached the play and the role of Amir as a love story. And then layering it with, of course, identity and perception of people and, you know, what is on the outside versus what's on the inside.
It's interesting that you look at it, you know, sort of first and foremost as a love story, because I almost, you know, when I was reading it, I almost was looking at that as secondary, but, you know, maybe playing in the role, you have to approach it differently.
I think so. I mean, I'd like to layer the character in different ways. And, you know, I think it's very easy to fall into stereotypes with this kind of piece. And I really wanted to stay away from that and approach it differently.
And Rachel, you play the role of Emily. You know, tell me about, I guess, how you would describe the play and your approach to your character.
Yeah, you know, it is a beautifully powerful play. I do think it is a love story. I agree with Amir. It's about family and sort of, but it's also about self-identity and how we self-identify, how unfortunately some people identify us differently than we identify ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's about oppression and maybe self-oppression. It's just beautifully complex because all of these things are true. And I think what you come to the story with is how you perceive it, which is super exciting to play because hopefully each individual audience member will take away something powerful. It's a bit like a poem, you know. Your interpretation of it is the lens that you're viewing it through.
And the way it's written leaves those interpretations open.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, and John, I can tell you why I picked it.
Yes, please.
I had seen the production on Broadway. It actually starred Gretchen Mol, who is an actress that I had directed 20 years ago on Sanibel, in Bus Stop, but it's a very beautiful, powerful play. I don't think we want to give anything away, but there's a rather dramatic, I would say, I think Rachel and Amir will agree, horrible sort of circumstance that happens at the end of the play. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting sort of series of straws that breaks this character of Amir's back, which makes him do a certain action at the end of the play. But the reason why, first of all, Florida Rep, we always try to give our audiences the hottest new play in America. And last year, I think American Theater Magazine said that play was disgraced. More regional theaters like Florida Rep produced Disgrace last year than any play. And I realize our audience in Southwest Florida doesn't have the luxury that I have to go to New York 4 or 5 times a year and see the hot new play that won the Pulitzer Prize. And so here we are dishing up in a fabulous production with fabulous actors, the hottest play in America, and giving our audiences of Southwest Florida a chance to see it. Well, secondly, and I think I would be totally simplifying the play, but certainly one of the themes I think in the play is bigotry against Muslims.
Yes.
I think I'd be super simplifying a really rich, complicated, personal love story. But to me, I saw the play and really loved it 4 years ago on Broadway. But in the last year, with all of this sort of anti-Muslim rhetoric that came out, that is one of the reasons as well that made me pull this play out of my back pocket because, you know, this is a one-act play. It runs 85 minutes long. But, you know, it's actually a two-act play because the second act is going to be the people that come see it. It's going to be their dialogue on the way home from the theater or their dialogue at a bistro after the show over a glass of red wine or their dialogue the next morning over at breakfast discussing this play. Mm-hmm. I think this play for different people will create different dialogue. But I, you know, besides that it was a hot play, and I wanted to give my audience a chance to see this brilliant play that won the Pulitzer Prize. But I also have been really disturbed by the bigotry against Muslims at these bands and this sort of hate that has been put out. And how does it feel? And I must say, Amir, I haven't told you this, but I think I was telling the director where in previews now, what a great job that you do in making this character, of course, human, but likable. I so like your Amir, and which really
thank you, that means a lot.
I care about him from the very beginning, and maybe of course, you know, I mean, you're honoring the script, which is obviously he loves his American-born wife so much, and you see that, and maybe that's what makes me like him, and then I have such empathy and sympathy for what you go through, you know, I mean.
Yeah,
and
that was always my goal in approaching Amir, is that, you know, he can so easily be played in one note, but it would be so much better for the audiences to come away feeling conflicted about this man and what he has done and what he has gone through and what he does, and still feel jarred. And that's always my goal. So I'm glad it's there. Thank you.
And I told you last night, or when I saw it on Tuesday night, this older white retiree who saw the show came up to me, and he literally had tears in his running down his face, and I was a little shocked, and I thought it was wonderful because he could empathize with what a terrible circumstance you found yourself in, which was sort of, you know, connected with how the world, you know, and series of events sort of treated this man.
Right.
And Amir, I'm going to get personal for a little bit if I can. I don't know much about you outside of, you know, your accolades as an actor, but is there anything about the character you're playing in Disgraced that resonates with you personally, either as it would relate to, you know, culture, ethnic identity, religious background?
Just, you know, again, it goes back to perception. Mm-hmm. When people first look at you, they automatically make an assumption, you know, based on the color of your skin, where you were born, where you were raised, what your religious background is. And I get that all the time, not only, you know, in my personal life, but also within our industry. It just happens. I've always tried to pick and choose projects where you don't fall or perpetuate those kinds of stereotypes and those kinds of beliefs. And that's always been my goal as an actor putting art out there, is to make people think twice. And it's, you know, it's difficult. You know, automatically people look at me and assume, you know, I'm a foreigner, or I'm, you know, I'm not American, or that I'm Muslim, none of which, are true. Mm-hmm. So it resonates for me, on many different levels.
Do you think there's something about the Amir, the character in this play that is, I don't want to necessarily say unique, but you know, sort of against the mainstream when it comes to portrayals of Muslim American characters in, you know, film and theater and television? And by that, I'm referring to his, you know, just outright rejection of his faith.
Well, I mean, that's one of the beautiful pieces about this production, is that he does reject his background, and it has a lot to do with, you know, knowing the difference and knowing how people perceive him, and there's a lot of self-hate upbringing, and it's wonderful to see a character who has a Muslim background, who is American-born, and is not your stereotypical quote-unquote terrorist or cab driver or whatever. He's a successful attorney in mergers and acquisitions and has a beautiful lifestyle and a loving wife, and you know, and you don't see that often.
Right. Mm-hmm. Rachel, I kind of wanted to ask you a similar question to what I had just asked Amir. Is there anything about your character, Emily, that resonates with you personally?
You know, it's interesting. I play an artist, actually, who's heavily influenced by the Muslim tradition, the Islamic tradition. and so the conflict that's created in our household in the play is quite interesting and lends itself to some turbulent situations. But it's interesting being an artist, you know, and what influences you in a timely way. And I think I have to agree with Bob. The things that are happening in America and our culture, how powerful it is to be able to tell this story right now. There's a lot of lines that all of us have, all the characters, that are incredibly, they resonate in a very real way. And we've already witnessed that in our preview audiences of audible feedback.
Oh, wow.
And a landed line is like, woof, you know.
Yeah, Rachel.
And that's
Rachel.
So exciting.
Rachel, especially the line, like we assume if like 50 people are going to be killed or, you know, that he's going to be a Muslim or someone,
right,
terrorist or ISIS. But what is the line that you say?
It's more likely that it's a white man who has a gun he shouldn't have.
Right.
And of course, we witnessed that a few days ago in Texas.
Right.
We
right.
witnessed it a few weeks ago, you know, in Vegas. You know, that line certainly, boy, does that sing.
I wanted to actually, what you're referencing, I had a little audio queued up here that I wanted to play for our listeners, and this is from just a short bit of dialogue from the play. This was from a performance in 2012 at the Claire Toe Theater at Lincoln Center. The performers you're hearing in this are Heidi Armbruster, Eric Jensen, Asif Manvi, and Karen Pittman. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
So what's it like for you?
What?
Airport security. I mean, you hear stories.
I wouldn't know. We cut right to the chase.
He volunteers himself, goes up to the agents, and offers himself up.
What? To be searched?
Mm-hmm. Look, I figure they're looking at me. It's not because I look like Giselle. So why not make it easier for everyone involved?
I've never heard of anybody doing that before.
Well, on top of people being more and more afraid of people who look like me, we end up being resented.
Those agents are working hard not to discriminate, then here comes this guy and just calls him out.
Pure, unmitigated, passive aggression, my wife likes to call it.
I think maybe she's got a point.
Hey, I think it's kind of admirable, Amir. If everyone was so forthcoming, the world would be a very different place.
It's racial profiling.
I know what it is.
I just don't think you like it too much if it were you.
But it's not her. That's the point.
And it's not some Kansas grandmother in a wheelchair.
No, the next terrorist attack is coming from someone who kind of, sort of looks like me.
See, I totally disagree. The next attack is coming from some white guy who's got a gun he
and
shouldn't have.
And he's pointing it at someone who kind of, sort of looks like me.
Not necessarily.
So if every person of Middle Eastern descent suddenly started doing what you're doing,
yeah,
if we all got used to that kind of compliance, I think we actually might start getting a little too comfortable about our suspicions.
Ah, so you do have suspicions.
And that was an audio recording from a 2012 performance of Disgraced. I've got to imagine when you all were rehearsing that scene, it had this, the timing has got to seem eerily, just very eerie, given, you know, the recent attack in New York City, the mass shooting in Texas, and how the dominant narratives about assailants are shaped based on their backgrounds in these types of incidents. An attacker with an Islamic background is almost immediately labeled a terrorist, regardless of what the facts might actually show. And by that, I'm not just speaking about the attack in New York. There have been others. While when it comes to the white man who shot up a church in Texas, what we hear from President Trump and other politicians is talk about the need to better address mental health in the country. I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, scenes like this and sort of what the play evokes, and particularly today.
Yeah, it's interesting, John, you know, because I think that's exactly it. That's exactly right. But what makes it almost extra compelling is the space that we're performing it in. Mm-hmm. It's an incredibly intimate space, and the audience is literally in our living room. It's only three rows on one side and four rows on the other side. And by nature of the way that this set is designed, there's nowhere for the audience to hide. So they've been invited to our dinner party in essence. Wow. And
so this is like Black Box style.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so it forces them to be a part of the conversation in a way, which is so exciting as an artist.
Yeah, John, Rachel, what does Shakespeare say? Holding the mirror up to nature. And
right,
this is
right.
A play. And we have discovered, because obviously Florida Rep has two theaters, we have a large 400-seat theater, but we have this very intimate space, and it really allows the audience to get something, you know, like movie acting quality, and are so immersed in the space. We have found the audiences absolutely adore this small theater because of the ability to be, I mean, literally, we don't suggest it, but if I wanted to, I could grab Amir or grab Rachel while they're acting, because I'm literally that close to them. And like I said, we don't encourage that kind of behavior at all.
Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle.
But you know what? We also at Florida Rep, we do 9 plays each year. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing a play that will make people laugh, like Sylvia or How the Other Half Loves. There's nothing wrong with doing a play that's just pure entertaining. But one of the things it's nice for us as theater artists to do, and as a running a theater, is to do plays that are pertinent to right now. Like last year, I was concerned about the racial tension in America. We did a play called Best of Enemies about the head of the KKK and this black woman who was an activist that Rachel started. Last year, I was concerned about the sort of haves and the have-nots. We always hear about the 99%, there's the 1%. But we did a play that was about like a good guy who had, you know, a great wife and teenage daughter, but he was frustrated that he couldn't own a house, called Double Wide. And so this year, like I said, a few of the plays that we're doing this year is we want to address issues that I think are worth talking about. And I think one of them is this bigotry against. Well, you know what? I guess there's always bigotry against the new immigrants. Like, you know, as an Italian-American, I grew up thinking it was the greatest thing in the world to be Italian. It was really shocking when I found out that the prejudice that my father experienced.
Yeah, maybe not back in the 1920s, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think sometimes at Florida Rep, we like to do plays that will make people think. That's one of the reasons we're doing the musical Cabaret this year, not only because it's a great musical, but I'm concerned about, like, this Nazi movement and this rise of the white supremacy movement, and how did that happen in Germany in the late 1930s, or late 1920s and early 1930s. So sometimes, you know, theater can make people think and make people talk. As well as you heard from the, as you heard from that audio tape, laughs.
Yes.
Because sometimes you make someone laugh, you make them think.
Robert, you know, it's no secret Southwest Florida is a largely, you know, conservative area socially. Is that something you keep in mind when you're selecting plays like Disgrace, saying, you know, I don't want to just bring this play here, but I want to bring this play here to this audience in particular?
Well, I would say yes, in that, like, for instance, last year and 3 times in my tenure here on Sanibel, and Sanibel and Fort Myers with theaters in my 30 years here, did I do To Kill a Mockingbird? And the first time I did it 30 years ago, it was because the headline of the Fort Myers News Press said, Fort Myers is the most segregated city in the South. Mm-hmm. This is back in 97, and that's why I did To Kill a Mockingbird, to discuss segregation, discuss black-white issues. So, no, yeah, but you know what? I think we also have a lot of sensitive, super smart people here in Southwest Florida that appreciate this kind of play that creates ideas and thoughts, and like I said, theater can do a lot of things, and there's nothing wrong with us making you laugh. There's nothing wrong with us entertaining you and you forgetting about your problems for 2 hours. So lots of times that's what I do when I select plays. But in a case like this, or Best of Enemies, or To Kill a Mockingbird, or Double Wide, it's really fantastic that our audiences and that we could find an audience for smart, thrilling, intellectual theater that is really dealing with things that are on the news every night and on our minds. So I appreciate how fantastic our audiences are and that they have welcomed plays like Disgraced, like The Man Who Was
Caught. I have to applaud you for bringing Disgrace to Florida Rep. I mean, I know,
absolutely,
and amongst the other actors, we were all kind of nervous about how it would be received.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few shows that we have, I mean, they are with us, and they appreciate it, and they're moved by it, they are shocked by it, and they've welcomed the topics that have been brought up, and you know, I just they've just been amazing people, and
again, oh, great,
so grateful.
I'm glad as a guest artist from New York, I'm glad you feel that way and recognize that. And I must say, I will say to you and John, I don't think I could have done this kind of play 20 or 30 years ago, but you know, over the last 30 years, Florida Rep and my previous theater, we have taken this community by the hand and led them in a direction of doing riskier, more thought-provoking work, and they have, in turn, said, thank you, we like it, we want to see these kind of plays, thank you for doing this kind of work. And I think everyone listening on the other end of this phone should know that this kind of work is available. One that, you know what, and I think it will totally entertain you for 85 minutes, and you will follow a story of a married couple going through a real struggle in their life. And as a man married 30 years, what married couple hasn't gone through struggles in their life? But, you know, I think people are going to really, really love this play, and we have such great audiences. But I'm glad you have found the audiences welcome to you as an artist, Amir.
Excellent.
Beautiful. Yeah, really wonderful.
Well, I know Amir and Rachel are on a tight performing schedule, and I don't want to keep you any longer than we have to. But Robert, just with a couple minutes we have left, given that this is the 20th anniversary season for the Florida Rep, do you maybe want to highlight some other upcoming performances this season that audiences can look forward to?
Well, you know what? I love everything that we're doing, but I think we have a lot of fun plays since we're talking about. We're doing a play called, which is brilliantly funny, called How the Other Half Loves. And we're doing a world premiere by a major playwright called George Washington's Teeth. And we're doing a salute to Cole Porter. So all those things are just going to sweep you away and make you tap your toes and make you laugh. And then we're doing plays that will really make you think. And it's always great to read the story of Helen Keller and Miracle Worker. So we have a great season. But the hallmark of Florida Rep is a wide variety of plays. And Rachel, who is a fabulous actress and ensemble member, you know, has done wild comedies for me. And she's done the most intense dramas. And I look forward to Amir coming back. And, you know, and maybe not necessarily playing a Muslim lawyer, you know.
I'd love it.
You know,
I'd love to
get
back here.
You know,
it's been an amazing experience working with this company and being down here. And Rachel, I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to work with her again and in this production. Not to mention the entire cast and our crew and our director. I mean, it's just been truly magical from the get-go.
It's true. Yeah, it's exciting to know that we're about to share this play with our audiences here in Southwest Florida, because it is such a incredible experience that we've had in rehearsals, and so now to welcome the audiences in is very exciting.
And so pertinent to play, more pertinent than when it was written because of everything going on in America right now. And I think wildly entertaining. I mean, you could maybe not have a political bone in your body and be really fascinated by this story and this series of horrible circumstances that affects this married couple that leads to this very dramatic sort of ending, a very sort of sad ending. But, you know, it's following a story. So, and again, I don't know anywhere, Rach, to you, where audiences can be in a theater that is so intimate and get to experience theater this way. And I think
that up close and personal,
it surpasses any film that you can see because there's like, you know, the audience and the actors, they literally breathe together. They are one in this experience.
Well, I was looking forward to it before, but now I cannot wait to come see it for myself.
Right on.
Please, please join us.
Yes, we'd love to have you.
Absolutely, I'll be there. Well, that is all the time, unfortunately, we have for this discussion, but thanks so much to our guests, actors Amir Darvish and Rachel Bertram, and Florida Repertory Theater founder and producing artistic director Robert Cassiopo. Great to speak with you all.
Thank you so much, John,
and thank you for bringing this kind of informative information to your listeners, because, you know, this is a very, it's very, you know what, and it's really, audiences will also find that they're in the presence of artists when they see Rachel and Amir perform.
All right. The Florida Repertory Theater's production of the Pulitzer Prize-winning drama Disgraced runs through December 10th. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit floridarep.org. We're taking a short break, but when we return, we'll get a preview of the African Children's Choir's upcoming performance in Cape Coral later this month. The group travels the globe performing for audiences and raising awareness and support for Africa's most vulnerable children. Stay with us. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida.